Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan this Friday, March 24, 2023. Health experts in South Sudan say tuberculosis is still a killer disease in the country.
The people who are most vulnerable are people with weak immunity. One of them, people who have other diseases that they already have, like if you have HIV, your immunity is already compromised. Maybe if you have diabetes. Also young children.
And female lawmakers in South Sudan say they face challenges.
People will start wrangling between men and women from the county. From the county, you will see that this county maybe want to sell some people, and then you will see that a man will come and say that he will be the one taking that position.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Today is World Tuberculosis Day. At least 4,100 people lose their lives to the disease, and an estimated 30,000 people around the world fall ill with the disease each day. The World Health Organization says global efforts to combat TB have saved an estimated 74 million lives since the year 2000. In Africa, there has been a 35% reduction in the tuberculosis deaths since 2015, Morino Jiambo reports.
World Health Organization, WHO, says that for the first time in over a decade, TB deaths increased in 2020 during the COVID-19 pandemic. This year, the theme of the World TB Day is Yes, We Can End TB. It aims to inspire hope and encourage high-level leadership and to increase investments and the uptake of new recommendations to combat the disease. The director of WHO's Global TB Program, Teresa Kaseiva, says action is needed to ensure the end of TB.
Other crises and socioeconomic inequities has reversed years of progress made in the fight to end TB. Actions and investments still fall far short of those needed to end the TB epidemic. 2023 is a pivotal year to push forward the agenda towards ending TB.
Millions of people around the world suffer and die from tuberculosis, a preventable, treatable, and curable disease. In Africa, TB infections since 2015 have fallen by 22%. Countries like Eswatini, Kenya, Mozambique, South Sudan, Togo, Uganda, and Zambia have reduced deaths by 35%. Meshidi Somoeti is the WHO's Regional Director for Africa.
An estimated 1 million people are living with TB in the region, yet to be detected. There's a well-known link between TB and HIV. Approximately 20% of people newly diagnosed with TB are also living with HIV infection. We are fighting multidrug-resistant TB. In the African region, just over a quarter of all people living with multidrug resistance are receiving the appropriate treatment.
Moeti says new drugs and vaccines offer hope in ending TB, though political commitment and financial resources are needed to achieve that.
Over the past decade, we've seen a notable progress in Eastern and Southern Africa. Our member states are increasing the uptake of new tools and guidance recommended by WHO, resulting in early access to TB prevention and care and better outcomes. The use of rapid diagnostic testing has increased, improving countries' ability to detect and diagnose new cases of the disease.
The International Medical Humanitarian Organization, Doctors Without Borders, is calling on governments and donors to speed up access to new, shorter, safer, and more effective treatments for drug-resistant tuberculosis. Kaseiva says in December, new WHO guidelines recommended countries to roll out a safer and shorter treatment that will help people with drug-resistant TB.
We are putting the spotlight on the importance of tackling health inequalities to ensure health for all. People with TB are among the most marginalized and vulnerable, facing barriers in accessing care and stigma and discrimination.
According to UNAIDS, people living with HIV are up to 18 times more likely to develop TB compared to those without HIV. Health experts say increased efforts and commitments from countries, partners, and donors are vital in accelerating progress to end tuberculosis. And they say early detections and effective treatment are vital to prevent deaths linked to the illness. Reporting for viewers, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Sacramento, California.
Still on tuberculosis, an official in South Sudan's National Ministry of Health says cases of tuberculosis have increased at health facilities across the country. The head of the National TB program says more than 20,000 new cases of the disease were recorded in 2022. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Dr. Apal Toby Madut is director of the tuberculosis program at the National Health Ministry.
As of last year, we had recorded around 227 cases per 100,000 population. So when you have 100,000 population, chances of infection of around 227 or 230 people, which came up to around 24,000 people infected in South Sudan for tuberculosis.
Tuberculosis, or TB, is caused by a bacterium called Mycobacterium tuberculosis. The bacteria usually attack the lungs, but can also attack any part of the body, including the kidney, spine, and brain. Not everyone infected with TB bacteria becomes sick. The disease is spread through inhaling tiny droplets from cough or sneezes of an infected person. The signs and symptoms of tuberculosis include feeling tired, loss of weight, fever, sweating at night, loss of appetite, and coughing that lasts 3 weeks or more. Dr. Madut says many people wrongly believe if a person has TB, that person may be HIV positive.
I would like to encourage the community and give them the information that TB and HIV are not equal. Having TB doesn't mean that you have HIV, or having HIV doesn't mean that you have TB. However, if you have HIV, your immunity will be weak. And when your immunity is weak, you could be vulnerable to get TB. But that doesn't mean that every single person who has TB should have HIV.
Madut says people with underlying illnesses and children are the most vulnerable to be infected with TB.
The people who are most vulnerable are people with weak immunity. One of them, people who have other diseases that they already have, like if you have HIV, your immunity is already compromised. Maybe if you have diabetes. Also young children, childhood TB for young people, because young people, they cannot take care of their own self.
Dr. Madut says medical workers treating TB patients face a number of challenges, including mega salary and a heavy workload.
Salaries are very little compared to the workload, compared to the ratio of health cadres in country and the number of people who are sick. It's so difficult. So we're having very low number of health cadres now in the hospitals, and the few that are there, the salary support retain them. So sometimes you'll find some of them, especially the ones that are working for the government, they may leave.
Madot says TB is a curable and preventable disease, and she encourages communities to stop stigmatizing those living with TB. She says wearing face mask is a good idea, especially when a person has flu. Good personal hygiene is another measure to prevent TB. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
As the world celebrates the achievements of women during this International Women's Month, female politicians in South Sudan say they face challenges. The lawmakers say competition from influential men, cultural norms, and a lack of political will to support women continue to hold them back in their attempts to participate in politics. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
48-year-old Member of Parliament Dosmane Joyce Eleso has served in the South Sudan National Legislative Assembly for the past 13 years.
If there is any position that is there, first of all, people will start wrangling between men and women from the county. From the county, you will see that this county maybe want to send some people, and then you will see that a man will come and say that he will be the one taking that position. And if you are not a strong woman, you will not succeed in that position.
Joyce, who rose to prominence during the Sudan general elections of 2010, says a lack of political will from some political parties to respect women's rights and support women leaders poses a big obstacle to women's efforts to rise within South Sudan's power system. Joy says this is the reason the 35% share of government positions allocated to women as part of the affirmative action defined in the revitalized peace agreement is not being respected by the ruling SPLM party. Only one of South Sudan's 10 states has a female governor. Under the provisions in the peace deal, there should be at least 3 female governors. While women do compete in politics and the marketplace, South Sudan's patriarchal society makes women seem weak socially and economically, which limits their sphere of influence in society. Peterson Magola, country representative for UN Women in South Sudan, says the patriarchal society still restricts women's rights in the country. One big example, he says, is the persistence of child marriages. He says despite the law, statistics so child marriages continue to happen at the age of 15.
We are seeing some men not taking their children to school, the girls. And I've given you statistics. Over 70% of the South Sudan women are illiterate. Why? Because some of the men still have these tendencies that they cannot waste resources on a girl child to go to school. We are continuing to see the issues of the, you know, communal conflicts being, some of them being, you know, driven by cattle raiding and so on, because they still believe that, you know, we can take so many herds of cattle for, you know, to buy a woman. And when this woman is brought, she becomes a property to the man.
Several public discussions have been held on the barriers affecting women empowerment and how to combat injustices that continue to hold women back from rising to positions of power. Magola says more conversations are needed. Mary Akechbior, a former lawmaker from the SPLM party, says it's time women rise up and take up positions of power. She says no one is going to give women what they want or deserve on a silver platter. They are going to have to fight for it.
There's no way you can just get a woman, pick a woman. Like, they have to come out from their houses. They have to come out wherever they are. I'm 100% sure women are qualified. They are educated. We have PhD holders. We have lawyers. We have doctors. We name them all. Even if my own daughter do not like to be a politician, I cannot force her.
Magola says despite the challenges, there is hope that things may change in the future. Transformational programs are being conducted by the government and UN Women that create awareness and educate women on their rights. Magola points out that recently partners finalized the development and a review of the country's National Action Plan, which was first developed in 2008.
I mean, the president recently at the women's conference came up very strongly and said he's going to support, you know, the implementation of all recommendations that came from that conference, and was really pushing a lot in terms of even addressing the issues of patriarchal in the society. And also, we can see even from the leadership that recently a number of, you know, a number of conventions, you know, the bills were passed.
Magola says UN Women is implementing a 7-month transformational leadership training project to empower women in South Sudan. He says the initiative focuses on grooming women for various levels of leadership. The project is being conducted in partnership with the University of Juba. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, some Muslims in South Sudan complain about the high cost of living in the country. Find out why after the break. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Health officials in Jonglei State say cases of tuberculosis are on the rise across the state due to a lack of awareness. Dr. Lual Ball says Bor Civil Hospital recorded 70 cases of the disease in the last 6 months. State ministry officials say hundreds of patients are being treated for TB in health centers across the state. For VOA News, Deng Gai Deng has more from Bor.
28-year-old tuberculosis patient who only identifies herself as a whale for fear of stigma attached to the disease says she was diagnosed with TB a year ago but did not start treatment earlier due to some personal challenges.
There are no many challenges I have faced since I started my treatment in terms of drugs, but some of the problem is people gossiping and how they behave when you are around. I was diagnosed with TB in November 2021. I am taking my drugs and I think I feel better now compared to previous times.
Awil says because of the stigma attached to having TB in South Sudanese society, she got divorced. Dr. Lualbol at Bori State Hospital says TB is a highly contagious disease that often attacks the lungs. He says it can also spread to other parts of the body like brain and spine. Dr. Bol says TB is spreading in Jonglei because either most people do not know how to prevent its spread or simply ignore the measures they were told about.
Basically, TB is an endemic disease. New cases are constantly being found and it is widely distributed and it causes a lot of sickness and death in children and young adults. Particular people in a situation with HIV. Yes, of course, this is a deadly disease. There is no any other cure within the community that herbal drug that being used by the community that they can believe that they can treat them. All these are lies. They cannot treat them.
Dr. Bol says symptoms of TB include chest aches, feeling weak, weight loss, chills, fever, and night sweats. He says some South Sudanese cultures, which encourage the practice of sharing utensils, cups and plates when eating meals, puts many people at risk of getting infected with TB.
The living cause of the community, it has significantly contributed to the exaggeration of health complications among our people, particularly when we have no proper nutrition. A minority person can eventually be taken advantage by this infectious disease because some people have a stigma, particular people who are being diagnosed or infected, HIV and TB.
Ajak Mach, director for the TB program at the Jonglei State Health Ministry, says there are about 600 cases of TB at 3 health centers in Jonglei State. Mike says TB is a curable disease if detected earlier and patients follow doctors' instructions. Mike says enough drugs are available at Bor Hospital to treat TB patients, but many patients avoid taking the medicine due to the stigma surrounding the disease. He strongly advises people who think they might have symptoms to seek medical attention. Tuberculosis is a serious condition that is transferred from one person to another via coughing, sneezing, or any other medium that can transfer infected droplets. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng, reporting from Bor.
Some Muslim South Sudanese say the soaring prices and other hardships in the country has discourage them during this Ramadan festival. They say they will continue to fast until the end of the month. For VOA News, Juliana Shiapai reports from Juba.
The holy month of Ramadan requires Muslims to pray, fast, and take part in acts of charity. Ismail Delby, manager of the Nubian restaurants in Juba, says this year's skyrocketing prices could prevent some families from having enough food during Ramadan.
As far as the fasting is concerned, everything is now going up because of the dollar issue. But with the help of God, I think Allah will assist us in everything.
Delby says the South Sudanese pound is losing value every day, forcing traders to increase the price of food items. $100 now exchanged for 92,000 South Sudanese pounds in the black market.
And everything in South Sudan, purchasing, we are purchasing using dollar. Nothing like SSP. Everything which is coming here, they are saying that dollar, everything is dollar.
And other Muslims who prefer to be identified only by her first name for fear of reprisals from authorities says Muslims in South Sudan should minimize their expenses during the month of Ramadan.
Actually, as we are in the holy month of Ramadan, and at the same time being at the economic crisis season, I think we need to reduce the cost of living by excluding luxuries, especially the social gathering.
Aisha says the country's economic hardship requires traders to work together to reduce prices to allow some families to buy food. She blames the fluctuating exchange rate of the U.S. dollars against the local currency for the skyrocketing commodity prices.
Business-wise, the dollar rate is high on the ground. That has caused everything to be at the high level.
Delby says trading in South Sudanese pound has become impossible for traders who import goods from the neighboring countries. He says the cost of importing goods depends on the availability of foreign currency, especially dollars.
We don't know what to do, but with the help of Allah, I think we shall just fast, nothing much.
As a devoted Muslim, Delby says he will continue to practice his faith as required by the teaching of the Holy Quran, despite South Sudan worsening economic meltdown. For VOA News, I am Juliana Shiapai in Juba.
We love to hear your comments about issues in this broadcast. We start with a listener who recorded himself.
Hello, John Tanza and Bin Biajo. Good afternoon. This is Mabora and Rangoni Rumbek, Lagos State. It is really heartbreaking to see our community killing each other without any reason. So what is happening in the Malay state is really totally inhuman. Therefore, I am appealing to the intellectuals of Jonglei State to go and make community dialogue so that to address these issues of killing each other. Killing will not help our community. Thank you.
My colleague Nabil Biajo is ready with the other comments that were sent to us via text messages. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. Peter Goj Anyang Majongdul in Arua, Uganda says, hearing about the peace resumption in Rome is good news to all South Sudanese, and we hope peace will be reached to reduce the rampant highway ambushes which are attributed to the holdout groups which dishonored the Juba peace agreement. Jacob Dior Machuang from Ural in Lake State says, the adjournment of peace talks to May in Rome is a tactical delay by both parties. We want an immediate response to all the talks to put an end to road ambushes. Asega Ludanga from DRC Congo writes, hello VOA team, my message to the leaders of South Sudan who are currently in Rome for the peace talks is we South Sudanese in the DRC, we only need peace in our country in order for us to return home. We are really crying for our nation South Sudan. Thanks VOA Africa for your program. Joel Philip Kwan in Bortown of Jonglei State says, hello VOA, I urge the holdout groups led by Thomas Chirilo, Paul Malong, Pagana Mum, as well as the government to negotiate with rebels in good faith. As we know, people of South Sudan, we have been suffering for so long. So we are urging them to join us for the betterment of our nation, as we all know peace is better than war, which is totally destroying lives and property. Salver Isa Khamis in Yambi of Western Equatoria State says, hello Nabil and Tanza. The Rome peace talks with holdout rebel groups must be a genuine roundtable negotiation with total political will from mostly the government to accept the recommendations and demands of the holdout groups. Otherwise, going to Rome with preconditions from both sides can be a threat to the final phase of the roadmap's implementation, which causes a lot of worrying for citizens. We need genuine negotiations, not pretending and delaying tactics that increase the suffering of the people of South Sudan. Any failure in the Rome talks can lead to a failure of free and fair elections next year. We need peace since yesterday, not today or tomorrow. Daniel Dondagbai from Ragmojok in Lake State says, "Hello, VOA. I would like to register my sincere thanks and appreciation to rebel holdout groups and government officials for the resumption of talks in Rome. As negotiation is going on, we need them to put the interests of South Sudanese first, not personal interests in resolving their differences. We are tired of rebellion. We need peace so that we all fight hunger and poverty." Kevin Emerson in Juba writes, "Hello, VOA. The SSPDF leadership claims that cattle keepers' weapons outweigh the SSPDF is not true. This is a campaign so that the international community lifts the sanctions for the arms embargo on South Sudan." Mading Malwal Alwong in Juba writes, "The Republic of South Sudan is endowed with great economic potential. However, since 2011, the economic priorities of the country were not established. Instead of using oil revenues to fuel the agricultural sector, the economy was mismanaged, resulting in hyperinflation, exacerbated by war which commenced in 2013. Now our economy is at the lowest point and about to totally collapse." BBD from Juba writes, "Hello, John Tanza, Nabil Biagio, and Carol Van Dam. This week, we have received mixed reaction on hate speech from Secretary General of the SPLM that supports a tribal incitement. As a citizen of this beautiful country, we see that the hate speech being used by SPLM Secretary General is a total violation and a big betrayal to the first Vice President of the Republic of South Sudan, Riek Machar. I'm urging the peace guarantors, Troika, the AU, the EU, and the UN that the Secretary General of the SPLM must take responsibility and should be held to account for his tribal incitement." James Roy Majok from Unity States Bantu Town says, "My message to South Sudanese leaders is to implement the peace agreement that they have signed and let them not extend the agreement they have signed to another 2 years while innocent South Sudanese citizens are suffering from famines and intercommunal violence while our government is doing nothing about all of this." Maker Major from Rumbek in Lake State says, "The police in Lake State treated suspects along tribal lines. It sounds bad for a national police to identify a suspect with his or her language or clan. I appeal to IGP to at least train those police with national policies." And finally, Philip Mamer Guy from Bortown in Jonglei State writes, "Good morning to all of you brothers and sisters from South Sudan in Focus. I am really so very glad to be in this group as a member. Together we can build our trust. The opinions expressed here do not reflect the views of this program or of VOA. We always enjoy hearing from you. Keep those comments coming."
And keep them brief. And we shall sample some of them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +12026308011. That's all we prepared for you on this wet Friday. We now leave you with Kennedy singing in his native Kakwa language.
Napanaga nabunda. Aha! Iyena nago.
Iyena nago.
Napanaga nabunda. Iyena nago.
Iyena nago.
Iyena nago.
Iyena nago.
Wow, wow, wow.
Napanaga nabunda. Iyena nago.
Amurgotiolo. Pasi amurgotana. Dengar takin soso.
Napanaga nabunda.
We have been listening to Kennedy singing in his native language, that is Kakwa. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you missed this program, go to voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer Kwame Ofori and engineer Harley Kiphart, we wish you a good evening. Remember to join us tomorrow. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Yeah.